Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems to me, as we read the gospel texts, that Jesus is constantly finding himself critiqued and tested by the Pharisees. Of course, they were the ones who considered themselves the experts on just exactly what God required. And the issue in today's text is, how do we handle the Sabbath? We find the commandment in Deuteronomy, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Now, some of the commandments in Deuteronomy are given without any commentary. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Simple and stark, obvious in their meaning. But for this commandment concerning the Sabbath, there is significant commentary about what it means to observe the Sabbath. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Sabbath was meant for everyone, and it was about rest. And as the text went on, we find that it was also about celebrating God's rescue. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So Sabbath is a time of pausing and acknowledging everything that God has done for us. And while it is a commandment, it is also an act of trust that God continues to uphold us and provide for us even as we step back from the normal workaday world. And so Sabbath is ultimately a gift. But the problem with the Pharisees is that they were more interested in the letter of the law than in the deeper meaning. They weren't content with a general statement, don't work on the Sabbath. No, they actually created 39 categories of work that were not allowed. They included carrying. How on earth would I get my sermon to the church on Sunday? Writing. Cooking. Well, so much for breakfast. Washing. Sewing. Plowing, planting, harvesting. That was the violation that they observed in the disciples, that they were plucking heads of grain. They prohibited sifting and grinding and chain stitching. Too bad for anyone that wants to do any crochet. They prohibited building and trapping and slaughtering. Okay, I think I'll stop now. I'm not going to share all 39 of the categories, but you get the gist. They wanted to define anything that could be possibly identified as work, so as to avoid breaking the Sabbath. Now, on the one hand, I want to commend anyone who has a purpose and intention in their hearts of carrying out the will of God. I would hope that we all have that intention in our lives. But the problem with the Pharisees was that they had forgotten the principle that Jesus shared with them, that the Sabbath was made for people and not people for the Sabbath. It was made to be a gift of grace and to provide space in our busy lives for celebrating God. And moreover, doing good on the Sabbath, in Jesus' view, always trump the legalism of just keeping the Sabbath. But the Pharisees didn't see this. And when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, They went out to plot with the Herodians. The NRSV text says how to destroy him. The NIV is a little starker, how to kill Jesus. Well, they say that no good deed goes unpunished, I guess. Now, it's easy to read this story and to find ourselves criticizing the Pharisees and condemning them for just being a bunch of self-righteous legalists. Of course, we would never be like that. Or would we? I knew a priest in Spruce Grove. It would have been about 30 years ago. He told me about an encounter that he had with a parishioner one Sunday. She was concerned that her priest was breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And no, it wasn't the one about adultery. She took him to task one day, saying, "Father, I drove past your home last Sunday afternoon and saw you out working in your garden. Don't you know that the Sabbath is meant for rest? It's not a very good example you're setting for your parishioners if they see you hard at work in your garden on the Sabbath." Now, I am sure that he was gritting his teeth and exercising a high degree of self-control when he managed very civilly to say to her, "Ma'am, taking care of my garden is how I rest and relax after my Sunday labors. I lead the congregation in worship in the morning, and in the afternoon, I celebrate God's creation by caring for my little garden." Of course, the challenge for any priest is figuring out ways to keep Sabbath when Sunday is our principal work day. Some people, like my little nephew some years ago, thinking that it's actually the only day that we work. But anyway, it's obviously not a day of rest. When I was a child, there were still lots of businesses that closed on Sundays. You might be able to get a quart of milk from a corner store. Oh, and yeah, in those days, they were quarts, not liters. But all the major grocers were closed. You could still get gas at some gas stations, but God help you if your car died on a Sunday and required any parts or repair. The rule of thumb was that only services deemed necessary were available on Sunday. And there were a huge array of what were called blue laws. And I found it very interesting when I researched why were they called blue laws. Well, they especially tackled things like entertainment that could possibly corrupt the mind. And that's why one of the big deals was that you couldn't buy alcohol anywhere on Sunday. And of course, one of the big debates in Christian circles at that point was whether Christians should accept work shifts on a Sunday. We were at the tail end of a time when there was a degree of cooperation between church and state in order to promote Christian values in our society. Those days are long gone. Today, you can access almost any service you would want on a Sunday. And depending on your workplace, if you suggested that you couldn't take shifts on Sunday because of your religious commitments, you might just find yourself out of a job. There are many businesses that are open every day of the year, and there are many more that are open every day of the year except Christmas. And I'm cynical enough to say that I don't believe that they're closed on Christmas out of any religious sentiment. I think they're closed on Christmas because it's a statutory holiday and they would have to pay double time to all of the employees. Sorry, I'm a bit of a cynic. There is certainly no support in our society for the idea of keeping Sabbath. These days, people half jokingly talk about the Ten Commandments having turned into the Ten Suggestions, at least by a society that does not feel bound by God's laws at all. But as Christians, how do we approach the idea of keeping Sabbath. Jesus' disciples plucked heads of grain on the Sabbath, and Jesus himself did a work of healing on the Sabbath. But when confronted by the Pharisees, Jesus did not try to suggest that the Sabbath had become irrelevant to the new order of things. Instead, he reminded them of the fundamental nature of Sabbath as gift, made for our well-being. I think we need to find the same kind of balance as we consider the commandment regarding the Sabbath. We are not meant to simply refrain from any kind of work as if that somehow makes us more righteous. Nor are we to treat the Sabbath just like any other day. I remember one of the things that my mother said after she became homebound and didn't go to church anymore, that she couldn't even keep track of what day it was anymore because there was no Sabbath to organize the week around. We are meant to keep Sabbath. Now, that might mean something a little different for each of us. I'm afraid that if I had a garden, pulling weeds would not be my idea of rest and relaxation and celebrating creation. It would be work. And as people who lived close to me observed, when I did have a little garden, it was work that I avoided at all costs. My poor little garden. And I would also, on the other hand, never want to have the attitude of one pastor who I knew in Thunder Bay when I was growing up, who said that he was never, ever to be called on a Monday for any reason because that was his day off. Jesus certainly did not tell the man with the withered hand to come back tomorrow. If we start thinking about Sabbath as commandment, it's easy to fall into a legalistic interpretation. But if we see Sabbath as God's gift to us, to give us a break, a time of refreshment, it becomes easier to frame our Sabbath keeping in life-giving ways, ways that include worship and family, and yes, rest. Inherently, Sabbath is about stopping. Stopping to celebrate God's grace in whatever ways renew us in body, mind, and spirit. Keeping Sabbath these days is certainly countercultural, given the emphasis in our times on work and production. My prayer is that we would have the courage and trust to turn our backs on the demands of our world and to allow ourselves to be led into Sabbath spaces of grace and refreshment on a regular basis. Amen.